So as we move on into the Christmas season, I do want to try and help today. I want to help us to keep our focus on the reason for the season, the reason why we celebrate Christmas. So turn with me this morning to probably a very familiar passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 1, drop down to verse 26. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. When you get there, would you just stand with me as we read God's Word? Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. You therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and is now in the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, Father, I pray, God, today, like never before, God, that your anointing would be upon me. God, that your anointing would destroy every yoke of bondage off of my life. I pray, God, as was in the Old Testament, that you would take a coal from the altar and touch these lips of clay. God, that everything does not line up with you, Lord, would be burnt away, God, in the spiritual realm. I pray, God, your anointing on me to preach. I pray your anointing on your people this morning, God, to receive your word today. God, that nobody leaves here the same way that we came in, Father, but that we would all be changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. For every person watching by way of the internet, could literally be anywhere around the world today watching this message by way of the internet. And I pray, God, that they would never, that they would be changed by just simply watching and receiving and applying this word to their life today. And Father, for that, I thank you. I give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. I was going to tell you before you sat down to just turn around and shake hands or high five somebody behind you. But we've tried that before, and you guys are like cats that have been turned loose. I wouldn't get you back for 15 minutes. You know it's true. You'd probably be leading the pack, Mike. I'm just saying. But it's important, isn't it? Family time is important. Listen, there is a certain wonder. If you read these Christmas stories in the Bible, there's a certain wonder surrounding Mary, the mother of Jesus, that really transcends traditional religious thought. And the fact that she was privileged, folks, The fact that she was privileged to bear God's son is really wonder enough. And see, Mary was young. She was poor. She was female. All three of those are characteristics that to the people of her day would make her seem unusable by God for any kind of a major task. The culture of the day, women weren't used a lot. Amen? But God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience that He has ever asked of anyone. You see, it's clear that she did not claim to understand it herself, but simply worshiped God in humble acknowledgement of the phenomenon that was about to engulf her very existence. You think about what the angel has said to her, has declared to her, has spoken over her life. In verse 46, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." When you think of magnify, I don't know exactly what you think of, but I think of my kids and my grandkids in the backyard with the magnifying glass on a sunny day, burning whatever they can find to burn. But when Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord," that word magnifies, the word magnifies, it means that, listen, it declares the greatness of the Lord. For the word magnify, it means declares the greatness of the Lord. What is it about your life today? Well, what is it about your soul today that is declaring the greatness of God? Especially with Christmas approaching, and especially as you rush to Walmart or Costco or wherever you do your shopping. Maybe you just shop online to avoid all the hustle and bustle, but how do we respond? I mean, I remember when you had to go to the Valley Department Store in Roseburg and to Payless on Jackson Street in Roseburg. There was no such thing as Amazon.com. There was no Walmart, at least in this country. There was the 88 cent store, which if you're cheap, Woolworths, J.C. Penney's, Newberry's, Montgomery, we called it Monkey Wards. But in order to go there, you had to deal with all the people. So imagine with me this morning, if you will, for just a moment, if you had to leave your house and go and deal with the people on some kind of a shopping spree, how would your soul magnify the Lord? Because you've been eyeballing that parking spot ever since you pulled in the parking lot. And you're driving as fast as you can in the parking lot to get to that parking spot, only to get five spaces away from it and find someone else pull into your parking spot. And now you have to deal with that. In that moment, is your soul magnifying the Lord? When you're walking down the aisle at Walmart and you've got your eye on that last Tonka truck in the toy section and some little gripper comes running past you, probably shot right between your legs, and grabbed that toy and was gone, and you're left to deal with that loss. Does your soul magnify the Lord in that moment. Because listen, if your soul is only magnifying the Lord in this house, we are in trouble. Mary wasn't a prophet. She wasn't even a priest. She was not in God's temple performing some acts of service. And the reality is she was just simply a young woman who was living at home. She was planning her wedding. She was engaged to be married to this good-looking guy named Joseph. And the question comes, have you ever stopped to think of the bewildering thought that had to flood her mind when people like Simeon would prophesy, as he did in Luke chapter 2 and verse 34 and 35, when he said, Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and for a sign which is to be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Or what about when her and Joseph are speaking with Jesus after he was left behind in Jerusalem in Luke chapter 2 and verse 48 through 50. And so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Remember who's talking with this conversation. She heard the voice of the angel. She knew the child was going to be the Son of God. And yet, these things take place. I can imagine that if in the flesh, Joseph might have said something like this, son, your father, small f, just so we have the context, small f, not big f, small f. Son, your father's business is to keep an eye on you. Can you imagine being the earthly flesh father of the Son of God? He's your responsibility to raise him up right, to watch over him, keep him safe. And this little booger got away from him for 3 days. You think Joseph, I bet Joseph's having a fit. Oh, man. I let the Son of God get away from me. So my business is to keep an eye on you and to keep you out of trouble. Now, if you know what's good for you, you will never leave my side again. Small f, remember small f. I can also imagine that when he said that, they both kind of looked at each other and went, In verses 28 through 30 of chapter 1, and having come in, the angel said, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. How many would just like to have an angel show up with just that message? You have found favor with God. Listen, I'm not an angel. Trust me. But I want you to know, simply by being in this house this morning, you have found favor with God, because you have before you the opportunity to reject or accept Jesus Christ. You have found favor. I'm just driving down the road and saw this place and I just thought I'd come in. Nope, it was a divine appointment today. Isn't that amazing? See, when Gabriel appeared to Mary, he called her a favored woman. She was favored because she would be a special recipient of God's grace. And that the Lord was with Mary indicates that God would give her his help in the privilege and the responsibility that she was about to receive. See, and while Zechariah had been terrified at Gabriel's very appearance in chapter 1 and verse 12, Mary was more fearful at the words that Gabriel spoke. Think of the implications on this young girl's life. Think about it for just a moment. God's favor, man, I want you to get this morning. God's favor does not automatically bring instant success or fame. God's favor does not automatically bring instant success or fame. In fact, oftentimes it can seem like it's the reverse, because in reality, before we're serving the Lord, the enemy doesn't mess with us much. You know why? Because he's already got us. But the moment you say to the devil, "I'm done with you, devil. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I will serve Him from this day forward," now you've got the devil's attention, and he's coming back for you. And so it can become this battle. And his blessing on Mary, the honor of being the mother of the Messiah, would lead to lots of pain in her life. Her peers would ridicule her. Her fiancé would even consider leaving her and divorcing her. And the very son that she was going to give birth to would be rejected. And ultimately, in the end, he would be murdered. Isn't that amazing? What are my friends going to think when I show up pregnant and I'm betrothed to Joseph? What's everybody going to... Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's the Son of God. See, God overshadowed me by His Spirit, and now I'm pregnant. I'm still a virgin, but yet I'm pregnant. That'll sell. You know, ain't nobody going to have trouble believing that deal. But the reality is exactly what happened. And thank God that Joseph didn't follow through with what he had planned. He didn't want to make a big public thing out of it. He was going to put her away privately, but the angel of the Lord showed up. Aren't you glad that every once in a while we listen to the voice of the Lord? The good thing is that through her son would come the world's only hope, and it's why Mary has been praised by countless generations as the young girl who found favor with God. And the reality is she's worshipped in some places, but listen, that was never God's plan. Mary's not to be worshipped. Jesus is to be worshipped. Her submission was part of the plan of God to bring about salvation. The word son was a designation of the Messiah, and God would, in fact, miraculously create this human child who would be His son, the long-awaited Savior, even in all of that, knowing that He would be rejected by His own people. They would not receive Him as Messiah. But you know why? Because He didn't come like they wanted Him to come. They wanted Him to come, this ruler, this triumphant, you know, riding the white stallion and the shield and the sword and the spear, all this stuff. And He's going to take over, and bless God, there's a new sheriff in town. But He didn't come that way. He came as a little baby. Who's scared of a baby? What authority does a little 9-pound, 8-pound, 7-pound, ever how much he weighed? Who's scared of that? Nobody. Except for some of us guys that are afraid to touch him, because we'd probably drop it. He wasn't a scary baby. He didn't look like he carried authority, but the Bible says that governments would be upon his shoulder. Jesus is a Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua and was a common name meaning Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. So just as Joshua in the Old Testament led Israel into the promised land, Jesus is leading His people unto eternal life. The symbolism of Jesus' name was not lost on the people of His day. They took names seriously and they saw them as a source of power. And in Jesus' name, people would be healed. Demons would be banished and sins would be forgiven. At the name of Jesus, devils have to run. Think about that. At the name of Jesus, blind eyes see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. At His name. Mary submitted herself completely to God's will and trusted His message. You and I have to submit ourselves to God's will. How many of you just are ready for change in your life? Anybody? You want change? Anybody want change in their life? We have to submit to God's will. Because if He isn't Lord of all, He ain't Lord at all. Amen? We have to trust His message. And she willingly accepted the honor and the reproach of being the mother of the holy child and what it would bring. And Mary said, despite the possible risks, may it be to me as you have said. Do you know that if you're not saved today, and you get saved today, which is what we're believing for, that there are going to be people in your life that are going to be shocked and appalled that you would do. Why would you do that? Well, the better question is, why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we accept Jesus? Because I can go in God's Word and I can begin to explain to you what hell's going to be like. Pretty much don't want any part of that. At all. But yet, there are people that are on purpose choosing that. There are people that are banking on the fact that, and the reality that, listen, I'm a good person. I work hard for my employer, or I am my own employer and I treat my employees well. I'm good to my wife and my kids and I provide for them well, and I even support charities around the world. So certainly God's going to allow me into His heaven. No, He's not. Not unless you have accepted His Son. Not unless Jesus has come into your life and you've been born again. There's only one way to get to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. People say that's narrow. The reality is that the fact that God gave us any way at all ought to be thanks enough. Mary said that she didn't know about, or rather, when Mary said that, she didn't know about the tremendous opportunity that she would have. Be it to me as you have said. She only knew, she only knew that God was asking her to serve Him. And she willingly obeyed. Mary's response reveals her humility and her honesty before God. She certainly never expected to see an angel. She never expected to receive favor from heaven. There was nothing unique about her that anything, especially the favor of God, would be on her. There just wasn't anything about her life. She was just normal as you and I are today. But yet she was handpicked by God. Can I tell you something this morning, folks? Every one of us in this room, every one of us are handpicked by God. Every one of us in the sound of my voice, in fact, everyone watching this morning by way of the internet, God has handpicked you. God has wired you a certain way. He's got a certain job that He wants you to do. And the only way you're going to know what that job is for you to get in and activate and pursue the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with you. Well, I watch church on TV. Well, that's great. That's great. There's a lot of good TV preachers out there. But who's holding you accountable? Because that preacher in Texas or New York or Timbuktu that doesn't even know you're watching, how's that guy going to keep you accountable? How are you going to stay accountable behind your walls in your home? That's why Jesus said that we're not to forsake the fellowshipping together. Because it's when you become a part of something that you begin to realize and recognize that there are deficiencies in the place. And I really like doing those things that have that deficiency. And it very well could be that God has you in that place to fulfill that need in that ministry. For you to be a part of what God's doing. If she'd been different from the other Jewish girls, as some theologians claim that she was, her response well could have been, "Well, it's about time I've been expecting you." But that was not the way it was. It was a surprise to her. She didn't know it was happening. She didn't know that the angel was... She certainly never dreamt in a million years that she was going to be the mother of the Son of God. Think about that miracle. In itself, God favors us. You've bought presents for loved ones. You've taken the time to wrap them up, put their little name on it, put it under the tree. And you're anticipating either Christmas Eve or Christmas morning when your loved one gets to receive that gift because they're favored in your sight. And you can't wait for them to see what you got them. Oh, it's going to be great. When little Johnny opens that package and sees that Tonka truck or that cap gun or Nerf gun or whatever it is that you've got him. Or little Susie gets that little doll that she's been wanting and when she opens that thing up and her face just lights up. Think about the God of creation that has given you and I a gift. And He's waiting in heaven for you to unpackage the gift, to receive the gift that He's given. Man, I'm trying my best to paint a picture this morning of what God desires to give to you. He's not going to take the gift that He's got you and just throw it at you. He's not going to just throw it at you, hit you with it. He has offered it to you. would you like this? This is my son. If you'll just receive my son, your life will never be the same. In order for the son to get here, he had to have an avenue. And the avenue was through a yielded vessel, a little girl, probably a young teenage girl, because that was the culture in those days. And she said yes to God. Jesus came as a baby in the manger. God does favor us. God does save us. He gives us gifts and He wants to use us. And we are favored by the God of the universe. A phenomenal privilege and an awesome responsibility to make ourselves available to receive His favor. And in this world, God is calling and He will always be involved in blessings and suffering. The call of God will always come with blessings and sufferings. Understand that. Oh, listen, if you'll just get saved today, John, if you just quit monkeying around and just get saved today, you'll never have another problem in your life. Whew. Would to God that that's the way it was. But it's like when we get saved, and I'm not trying to scare anybody off. I'm just trying to preach as real as I know how. When we submit our life to God, it's in that moment. Listen, have you ever heard the expression, don't kick a sleeping dog? It's kind of the way it is with the enemy. He doesn't monkey with us much when he has us. It's when we surrender to Jesus that he tries to get us back. God is calling you and I away, and His calling involves blessing and suffering, joy and sadness, success and disappointments. Mary was not a proud, self-centered, flighty or frivolous young lady who was conscious of herself and felt that she merited and deserved the attention of others. She was a young lady who loved God and had determined in her life before this moment took place that she was going to live a pure and a responsible life unto God. And because of it, God said, Mary, you're the one. She didn't start living a righteous life when the angel showed up. She was living righteously long before that. And apparently from her response about this passage, there was something of a sweetness in her spirit that was full of softness and warmth and tenderness and was responsive and willing, subjective and giving, thoughtful and kind. But Mary never dreamed that she was anybody special. She never dreamt that. That thought never even crossed her mind. Church, we got to come to the place where we don't wait to see the bottom line before we offer our life to God. What will happen in my life if I surrender to Jesus? What will my life be like if I surrender my life to Jesus? I heard that pastor say that things could get rough if I give my life to Jesus. And you were right. You heard right. But I'm going to tell you something else. It does get better. It does get better. The assurance of knowing that should the Lord come back, I'm going to be with Him in heaven. I'm going. I might get sick and die, but I'm going to heaven. I might drive out this parking lot this morning, get run over by somebody, and if I do, I'm going to heaven. I might live to be 99 years old. I hope not. Not unless I at least have my health. It don't make a difference. I'm going to be with Jesus. Some days I don't feel like I'm going to Jesus, but I have no-so salvation because I know what it says in God's Word about my life. Can I tell you something this morning, John? Come on. Listen. There's a verse of Scripture that keeps coming back to my mind. Because some of you are sitting there thinking, man, I have been I've messed up too bad, too many times, too often. Pastor, you don't know what my life is like. Well, let me just break the news to you. You don't know what mine's been like. And if there's anybody that would be disqualified to preach the gospel, it's me. I'm not here because I went through Bible college, because I graduated high school, because I've lived a perfect life. I've never cussed. I've never drank. I've never done drugs. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm here. That is nonsense. Everything I've just mentioned, I've done. I did not graduate from all the, you know, I've not been to where's that place? Seminary. I'm not a theologian. I'll tell you what I am, though. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I can look you in the eye and say, you know what? I've been there, and I've done that, and I know what you're going through. I know that there's hope. I know that today isn't the end of the story. For some of you in this place today, today is the beginning. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Joshua said in chapter 24, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord." Amen? We have to offer ourselves willingly. Even when the outcome seems disastrous. The implications behind Mary getting pregnant without being married. The implications of that. We, in our culture, we really probably can't even sufficiently wrap our minds around what she went through. Thank God for a man named Joseph, a husband that was determined to stand by his woman. And thank God that she went through with it and delivered unto us the Savior, Christ the Lord. Amen? That's what Christmas is about, folks. That's what Christmas is all about. A baby in a manger. I almost feel like I'm probably just preaching to myself, but you know when the angel appeared to the shepherds, you realize that they were the first ones that received the news of the birth of Jesus was a bunch of shepherds. We think of shepherds and we think of a shepherd's crook and a flock of sheep, and it's just so wonderful. But those shepherds were the outcasts of society. They didn't even want them dudes in town. They slept out with their sheep. They didn't want them in town. They were thieves and all kinds of... They were just bad characters. And the news of the birth of Jesus was delivered unto a bunch of those kind of folks like some of us. That received the news that a baby's been born. Christ the Lord, the Savior of the world. And He was born to die for you and for me. And this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying. Can I just tell you this morning that God by His Spirit knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you are. And He knows exactly what you need spiritually in your life. He knows exactly what you've done. He knows exactly what you need in the way of forgiveness. He knows exactly what you need in the way of encouragement. He knows exactly what's going to come your way tomorrow. And He said that His Holy Spirit would guide you, direct you, and comfort you. Sometimes He calms the storm. Sometimes He calms His child and lets us walk through the storm. Today, with people praying, the Holy Spirit's asking you today, God is asking you today, what are you going to do with this baby? What are you going to do with this baby? The song we sang was Away in the Manger, but can I declare to you today, He's not away in the manger. He is the way in the manger. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God except through Him. And this morning, the Holy Spirit is knocking on your heart's door, because remember, He's a gentleman and He won't kick the door down. He won't barge in. He won't come in unless you invite Him in. He won't come in unless you open the door and say, Jesus, come on in. Let's talk. I got some questions. The Bible says very plainly that Jesus will come in and He will sup with you and you with Him. And if you'll accept Him into your life, into your heart, He will change you. He will take your sin. He will apply the blood of Jesus to it. It'll be washed away. My Bible says very plainly that He remembers our sin no more forever. No more forever. He said in another place, I cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. But there's got to be a starting place, and it's today, right here in this church. If you're here today and you've been listening to this message and you're saying, man, I need Jesus. I've been away from Him. Maybe I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord. Maybe you have accepted Him and some way or another life happened and you've gotten away from God. But today, you've heard this message, this story of the birth of Jesus, and you're saying, listen, if God will have me, I want to get back to God. If that's you today, and you say you've either never been saved, or today you want to recommit your life to Jesus, if you'll slip your hand up, I want to pray with you in this place today. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. Yes, sir, I see your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else, say, preacher, that's me. I'm not leaving this place today until I receive the greatest gift known to man, and that is the salvation of my life through Jesus Christ. If that's you today, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else, say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to recommit my life to the Lord, or I need to get saved the very first time. It doesn't matter. Anybody else, say, preacher, that's me.